Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. And so last week was our first week back. We've been gone for a while, and so we are excited to be back. And so I want to introduce to you guys my co-host, Steve. How are you doing?
All right, and yourself on a Sunday, Dr. Guy?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And you guys, we have a new co-host chiming in with us tonight, and that's Stacey J. Hey, Stacey J.
Well, hi, Dr. Guy. How are you, Steve?
All right. Good to have you on with us, Ms. Stacey J. I'm looking forward to the commentary you'll be providing. I'm sure you can give us some insight into this wonderful topic we've selected this Sunday.
Well, I'm sure I can.
All righty. So, you guys, last week, as we told our listeners, we would be following up with a show topic called Steps for Dating. So we're going to talk about if you are dating, do you have a dating plan? Should you have a dating plan? What does it look like? And then we have some helpful dating tips that we have identified as part of our dating plan that we're going to go over tonight as well with all of our listeners. So first of all, let's start off with the whole question of should people have a dating plan? What are your thoughts? And either of you can respond. Steve, Stacey J, what do you think?
Well, definitely.
Gentlemen.
I think. Okay. Well, I definitely think that's part of the problem that we have in our dating sphere is everyone spends so much time on their career plan and path and how to achieve those successful results and goals, but they don't do the same in their relationships. They just kind of meander through the dating process. They don't have any concepts of what they want and how to get there, and that's, you know, a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm. All right. Stacey J, what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are we're deciding what is the plan. Are we saying to have a checklist of things that we want, or really kind of go into more detail of what you're speaking of as when you're saying a dating plan? Are you talking about, hey, you're going to take me to Golden Corral versus, you know, the Four Seasons? Can we decipher into more of what the plan is? Because for me personally, I don't think a dating plan is necessary for your life choices because life happens.
Okay.
Well,
so, Steve?
Well, I definitely think that it does encompass some of that, whether you're a Golden Corral type person or Four Seasons type person. So part of that is just identifying who you are and who the people who are like you or similar that you will attract will be. So I think that's sometimes part of the incongruence is you may be someone who is more of a Golden Corral type person, but you're trying to chase somebody who's more of a Four Seasons type person. So you kind of have to understand yourself as well as the type of person that you're trying to attract or you're going after to make sure those things are lined up properly. And I think sometimes that's a problem that people don't actually do that correctly.
I totally agree with that.
So I want to chime in the question that you asked, Stacey J, was you don't necessarily see the need for a plan because life happens. And so I just kind of want to use the example and to piggyback off of what Steve mentioned is that when you think about people in general, when there's something that they want to accomplish, for example, I'll use careers because that's a real easy example to compare relationships to. I know, let's say, I want to be an engineer, right? And so if that's the plan, I can't just wake up and be like, I'm going to allow life to just happen, and then one day I'll stumble into a job of being an engineer. So if I know what it is that I want, I have to put some steps in place to help me reach that goal. So if we do that in almost every single thing we do besides relationships, then why wouldn't it be as effective to implement a plan to help you as it relates to dating?
Okay, so let me quantify what you're saying. So, I'm a single female, and I should make a quote-unquote plan. I should have a list of, I want my ideal mate to be such and so, successful, 5 feet tall, dark skin, working, making five figures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This list goes on. And I do work on myself. But the thing is, we're quantifying a list of things that we want in a mate and calling it a plan. It's not a plan.
No. Well, that's not the plan. That's part of a plan. Like, you're just talking about one piece of it, right? So Steve and I both have a different set of – we both have our own list. So Steve has a list and I have a list of what we identify as helpful steps for healthy dating. And so what you just mentioned, a list about qualities of a mate, yeah, that's important. That's part of the steps, but that's not all of the steps, right? And so for my particular plan, step number one, before you can do anything else with it relate, as it relates to dating, is you first have to explore self. What is it that I am looking for? Who am I? What do I want? What do I bring to the table? Those are things to really know in the beginning. You also need to know, am I ready to be in a relationship? Am I ready to date people? And so for me, that's my step one on my plan, is to really do some soul searching, some self-exploration, some self-introspection to figure out who you are. Steve?
Yes, yes. Well, I think that what we may have lost Stacy is the list is part of the plan, but it's not everything. It's kind of like, you know, going, like Dr. Guy said, you know, identifying you want to be an engineer and going backwards from where you are currently to figure out what those steps are, going to college, you know, getting your engineering degree, passing that test, you know, interviewing with the firm. So it's just steps in the process. For me, and I'll go through my quick steps a little. The first is to start with a profile of what that person may look like, their temperament, their emotional intelligence, their financial, you know, outlook, moral values, spirituality, sexuality, those type things. And what would that person like about you? And make sure those things are aligned by your values. Sometimes you might want to look at, you know, birth order that sometimes contributes to things. And, you know, from there you would go where that person would be, whether it's, you know, someplace in your city, online, you know, a conference, particular restaurants, things of that nature. And, you know, I think this speaks to what Stacy was talking about. You need to know what your dating style is. You know, you're more casual, you like formal things, more adventurous, more trips. You know, if you are, for me, you know, I don't do, like, my first five dates are always under $50 because, you know, for me, that gives me a range that, you know, I'm willing to invest, that if I lose it, then it's not, you know, anything that's significant to me, rather than trying to woo someone with, you know, finances, and then you just kind of get lost and not necessarily identify those qualities in that person because you're, you know, really focusing more on their experience than getting to know each other. And, you know, my final step is just go with the process. You know, like Stacy said, life happens, so sometimes things will work out, sometimes things won't, but at least you have a plan for how to attack dating in general.
Stacy J, any comments to that?
Still 100% against this setting a plan. When planning a life, when making a life, I'm sorry, you cannot plan it. You cannot orchestrate every aspect of your life. Yes, you can make a goal. You can set a goal for it. You can try to make it happen, but it's not going to happen the way you plan it out. That's not ever going to happen that way. You're not going to find
what
you want in it.
Stacy J, I think what I'm hearing you say, it's not that you are against the plan. What I think I'm hearing you say is that you are against people who are too tied to a plan, and when the plan doesn't follow through or when the plan doesn't happen, they're stuck to this plan, which may even be unrealistic
exactly.
or the fact that reality happens. But think about this. Tell me one thing that you can do in life and be successful in it without making plans. Now, because you make a plan doesn't necessarily mean you have to stick to that plan, but you at least need a blueprint. So without the blueprint, what do you do, right? Like even the one that I can think of the most that most people can relate to is their careers. How do you say, okay, I want to be this, but I have no plan about how I'm going to become this person. I want to be this engineer, but I have no plan. I'm just going to let life happen because I know life happens. So if I go to school, great. If I don't go to school, if I get this job, it's not about the plan, what I'm hearing you say. It's about people being too invested in a plan and not being flexible with that. Because how do you achieve any goals without preparing for them by plan?
Okay, what is this set goal? Because my whole issue with this dating plan, I don't know, maybe it's just the title of it. It's just really throwing me another way. Because if you say, okay, I want to be a wife, I want to be a girlfriend of a billionaire, and I'm going to set a plan to do such things, my thing is life happens, and most times opposites attract. If you're not a billionaire, you might attract a thousandaire. If you're not a wife material, you might attract a boyfriend. Life happens. So to say, set a yes.
I can't speak for anybody else, but I do agree with that. But what I also want to chime in and say, you guys, because we do have listeners that are chiming in, so just a reminder to our listeners, if you want to join in our conversation tonight, if you have a comment, if you have feedback, remember to just press 1, and we'll gladly add you into our conversation tonight. So back to you, Stacey J. you're right. You might not necessarily get that particular person, but how do you even work towards getting anything if you say, I'm just going to date, which some people do for the most part. But what we're saying is if people are strategic about everything else in their life, they're strategic about how to buy cars, where to take vacations, what career choices. I mean, people plan out, for the majority, most of the things in their life. And so why not create a plan? And that plan doesn't mean that you're going to follow it to the T, Stacey J. We're just saying that there are steps. So, for example, as Steve just went through all of his steps, I identified that step 1 of my plan is to explore self, right? Like it really needs to begin there because sometimes people are just not emotionally and psychologically in a place to engage in a relationship with anyone else. And as a clinician, I have to speak to that place of being emotionally and psychologically stable. And so all too often, people are looking for other people to help them fix themselves, or they want to fix other people, which distracts them from really focusing on themselves. And so that's kind of hard when you're in a unhealthy, maybe even dysfunctional place emotionally and psychologically, and you're trying to connect to other people. So that's why I said the first part of the plan for my steps is that people really need to go and do their own work and just be aware of who they are. And what may come up in that is you might find out why you keep attracting the same type of person that you don't want.
And Dr. Guy, I totally agree with that. I 100% agree with that. I believe that that should be your dating plan, if you want to call it so far, is to date yourself. Your dating plan should be date yourself to make sure you're dateable, that you are the material that you want to attract. The universe is full of the people that you want to, you want to attract, but you have to make sure that you are able to attract those type of people. Because I'm sorry, the homeless is not going to attract a person that is financially stable and self-secured within their self. And even if they make a plan, I'm going to go sit outside their house every day for the rest of my life, that's a recipe for them to end up in jail, but it's not a recipe for them to end up in their home and married to them or whatever, whatever. And, you know, I'm sorry, it's just you have to do the work on yourself, and that should be the only plan you have. Work on yourself, love yourself, date yourself, make sure that yourself is straight first.
Well, I think part of the problem is people have they're not able to self-identify those things. And I actually do know of an instance where there was a lady with three kids in a homeless shelter that got married to a guy. So all kind of things do happen. Like what you spoke to earlier, if you wanted to marry a billionaire, well, the first step would be to identify there are only about 2,600 of those in the world. And they tend to follow a schedule of where they go. They might be in Saint-Tropez in the summer. They might be going to the Grand Prix in Monaco. When that occurs, they might go to Wimbledon. So the first step, along with, you know, identifying you want a billionaire, is to go where they go. And from there, you'll be able to have a better chance of interacting with a billionaire than just sitting at home. So I think it's just speaking to being more strategic about identifying what it is that you want and how you can go about getting closer to those goals and attracting those people.
I agree with that piece also, Steve. And so one of the things that, Stacey J, that you mentioned that you think the only part of the plan should be the self-improvement and the self-awareness piece and to date yourself. I totally agree that people should be working on themselves because obviously that's step one of my plan. But then there are other things that I think are essential in people being able to just be successful and healthy in their relationships. And my step two is that people should release old baggage, whatever that old baggage may be, in particular as it relates to someone maybe they were dating in the past. Or baggage comes in different shapes, forms, and sizes for everybody. And so they really need to release that before they begin to carry it into their other relationship. Now, I don't know anybody that would disagree by saying, no, I think people should go ahead and carry that old baggage in their new relationship with them. Either of you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I definitely think, you know, this speaks to, you know, like Stacey said, working on yourself. But also, you can work on yourself, but you still have to be able to have some type of emotional intelligence to understand what a partner might want from you. So I think a lot of times, you know, people get so consumed with themselves and what they want that they forget that there's a actual component that they have to be able to match that other person as well in terms of the goals of a partner and what their life might look like as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that brings me to my step three, actually, of my plan, which says identify your dating purpose. Now, Stacey J, I definitely want to hear your thoughts on this particular step because people date for several different reasons, right? So if you don't set up part of your plan about why you're dating, potentially, I think that that creates disconnect from whoever you're engaging with or the person you potentially might engage with. So, for example, I might want to date because I am wanting someone to just spend time with, to enjoy doing the activities that I enjoy, but I'm not looking for anything serious. That's a very different type of dating versus I feel like I am ready to be settled. I want to find someone I can marry. That looks very different too. So should that not be part of your plan?
I believe that we are put on this earth not to walk it alone. No one is. I believe that people do not know how to date anymore. The dating tandem has been just shifted to all sorts of pendulums that really should not have, you know, really come into existence. Dating really started basically to join two people together to love each other for the rest of their life. And that's what dating should be about, finding that one someone who completes you, who you will spend the rest of your life with.
Should it be, though? Because everybody might not want to find somebody to spend the rest of their life with. That's what I'm saying. Some people, and I think dating looks very different. But dating looks very different depending on what your age is. In your 20s, I may not be looking for a soulmate to spend the rest of my life with. I'm looking for a soulmate for tonight, potentially. All I'm saying is I can't 100% say that everybody's sole purpose of dating should be to find the one, because there may not be
that's
the
sign,
one.
And that's the sign of the times is what I'm just trying to say is, yes, dating has gotten twisted to I'm just looking for someone to bump for the night and leave them at home. Our generations have just really changed, and now this is what dating has become. No matter what the age limit, that age limit is being boosted up, you know, decade after decade. You don't have to be 20 to just want to do a booty call anymore. Unfortunately,
well, here's,
that is not the way it was meant or set up to be.
Okay, so I cannot say that every single person should be dating to find a soulmate, because what we know about numbers don't lie. If every single person should be with somebody else, we would have the same number of men as women. But unfortunately, women outnumber men 3-1, and that's just by birth rate, right? So if there are more women just alive, it would make it absolutely impossible for every single person to be together. So for me, I can't say that dating is only for you.
Men?
No, 20? This is sure numbers. This is across the board. Females are outnumbering men by birth numbers. I'm not talking about gender. I'm not talking about ethnicities. That's across the board. More female babies are born every day than men.
Yay.
Well, then that kind of
sure numbers tell
in-
us.
Well, that can kind of take me back into biblical days where the men had more wives. So that kind of takes
Yay.
Into a whole nother conversation and into a whole nother realm. So we don't want to visit that topic today.
Well, I think if you talk about from a traditional standpoint what dating was versus what dating is, the idea of romantic love is relatively new, say, starting in the 1800s. So at that point, before women had a lot of rights, you were just dating for survival. Like, you were getting in arranged marriages. You know, if you were married to a man and he died, you became the property of his brother. Like,
property.
Let's not get into one of the wonderful things that were occurring in the Bible. It's not that things are worse. It's just different. You know, we talk about, you know, slavery and not being able to get married. You know, we talk about indentured servitude. You know, if we go into all of that, which this was really, you know, Solomon and how many wives he had. You know, like, let's not present biblical times as, you know, the ideal model of relationships. You know, I think that, you know, like Dr. Guy said, everybody doesn't want to have one partner. You know, that may be your outlook, but there are a lot of groups of people that, you know, practice other forms of marriages where they are, you know, polygamy, polyandry, all of those P words. So, you know, we can't say that that's the ideal model. What we can say is you can identify if you want to participate in that lifestyle, then you might need to find someone who agrees with you. There's a large group of black poly people, you know, in the Dallas area. You know, I was a part of a couple of those groups, just getting some education, of course, you know.
Research purposes only,
you know,
research.
Yeah, just research purposes only. Just talking to people, you know, and seeing, you know, what they were looking for, how they arrived at those conclusions, you know. And we haven't even gotten into, you know, just your alternate LGBTQRS, you know, V relationship. So, you know, I think that, you know, if we sit here and say, well, this is what a relationship is, and, you know, we're really doing a disservice to, you know, everybody.
I want to remind you guys that we do have listeners that are chiming in, and so we have some responses. And so what are your thoughts? One of our listeners said, people are born alone and not with mates, and there is no one person, you put in the work and make it happen. So that was a response to one of the comments I think that you made earlier, Stacey J. And so I do want to know what you all thoughts are on those comments. But also, as you guys are listening on, remember, if you have a comment, question, you just want to join in on our discussion, just press 1, and we'll love to hear what your thoughts are. So what are you guys' responses to that?
The number as well, Dr. Guy, give them the number as well.
Sure. I am so sorry for our listeners who might be logging in online. If you guys are listening in online, you can call 914-205-5902 and press 1 to be added in the queue, and we'll acknowledge you. So any comments related to that or responses to people are born alone and not with mates?
Okay. I'll respond to that. Yes, people are born alone. They come into the world alone, but they are never alone from that point on. They don't want to die alone. You can go into any nursing home, and you can see from the wisdom from the elders that, hey, they can teach you a lot that you know, you're running from, and you think, oh, I'm going to live this life alone, and I'm going to be alone, and I was born into this world alone, and I'm going to leave this world alone. Well, yeah, if you leave this world alone, you're going to live a lonely life.
So I'll agree with you about that. Once people hit that stage of life, people do want companionship. They want family members around it. And for a lot of people, unfortunately, that is a time when they are left alone. I will agree with that. But to go back to the plan, if you don't plan, you plan to fail. That's my motto, right? I live by that, and I agree with it. Because when you think about, if I don't want to be that person in the nursing home by myself with no one, no family, no loved one, no, you know, spouse or anything like that, then I have to do the work prior years so that that doesn't become me. But unfortunately, there are some people that just don't do the work. Again, going back to my step one, know thyself, exploration of self. And so, you know, that really trickles down into, am I releasing this old baggage, or am I carrying it into the new relationship? And then my step three is literally, why do I date, right? Like, for me to say that everybody dates with the sole purpose of finding their soulmate, that would be me imposing my beliefs onto other people. And I know my beliefs aren't the same as everybody that's out there. So I can only say that I do think that it is important for people to identify, what am I dating for? Because if I'm dating for the soulmate, then I need to be looking for someone else who's dating for the soulmate and not the person who's dating for a one-night hit it or quit. Because now we got a problem.
Yeah, because, well, you know, Dr. Guy, I was going to say, you know, your views aren't even the same with everybody on the phone. So, yeah, we definitely... You know, I'm a little bit
true.
More.
That is true.
A little bit more liberal in my approach to dating, and you know, some of the things that have occurred in my life. So you know, what am I going to do with some of these things that I like to do? I need to identify that I can do these things with, you know, the person I've selected, because you know, we can't get in a relationship and we have different, you know, financial goals or sexual goals. I can't just let that happen. I have to vet that process.
Wow.
So you don't think that that's an important process, Stacey J?
Oh, no. I totally believe it is an important process, but it also kind of falls within who you're dating, you know, and why you're dating that person, because there is no perfect person, and you can vet them 100% all day long, and they may meet 100% of what you figure and think that you want, but they may not be what you need.
Well,
let's talk about this real quick.
This is my example, and I tease Dr. Guy about this all the time. Like, everybody has their concept of their, you know, finances or their sexuality, their moral compass, or even their sexuality. Like, some people think they're freaky until they meet somebody that's freaky. You know, you may think you're freaky until you run into, you know, this other person who's got a different concept of that, or... You know, like, I've dated women, and this is, you know, be a little graphic, but, you know, I'm graphic sometimes, and they'll think they're soaking wet, but they're dry to me, but I can't tell them that. Like, you know, their concept of being wet for them is different from what my concept of wet is. So, you know, for everybody to be on the same page, you know, we have to have these interactions, and we all have to have the same definitions.
Yes. You know what? Sometimes I'm so shocked when I have to say I agree with you, Steve. Not necessarily with that example that you gave. Purpose A is probably wouldn't have been the one that I would have chosen to use. But I agree with saying that because that really leads into my next step in dating is, this is the one you're not going to like, Stacey J, is you need to know what qualities you're looking for in a mate. That doesn't mean I'm going to exclude someone because of it, but what's important to you, right? Like, for most women will say they want someone who is stable because stability is important. I don't care what salary they make, what income brackets they're in, all women want to feel secure in their relationships. And for women, that means financial security comes with that. Now, that's not the only quality that she may have on her list. She might have some superficial qualities on there. I don't know, but it is important to have those things to know what floats my boat. What do I like? What do I not like? So I know you got something to say to that, Stacey J.
Oh, yes, I totally do. I agree. It's important that you need to know what you like and what you do not like. But in dating, I do believe that, you know, that's kind of like a sideline. It's kind of like the water boy for the football team. Leave it on the sideline. You need to know what is most important. What are your deal breakers? What are the things that, you know, you absolutely cannot move forward with? Not so much as, what you know, the good stuff. Give me the bad stuff and let me know right off the bat if I'm going to be able to move forward with that.
But I should tell you, if we're not creating a list, though, if we're not creating a plan, the very things that you said go untouched and unacknowledged. So what you're saying is these things are essential. Okay.
Oh, no. That's not a list. That's a know thyself. That's kind of like your step one.
Yeah, I'm confused.
But again, like I feel like you're saying the same thing that we're saying. I'm confused a little bit. But yeah, it's still important for people to identify whether it's what they will not deal with or what they do want. It's still an identification of something which needs to go somewhere. So it's a list, right?
Really know. I just believe it's all about self-improvement and self-awareness and knowing yourself. When you're saying, you need stability and they need to make a certain salary, that's kind of
that's
just shallow.
I use that as an example. I'm not saying that's what all people are using. That was my example. And I take ownership for my shallowness all day, every day. Thank you very much.
I think that it's just realistic. You know, in today's society, I think it's just being realistic. It's not being shallow. Like, if you have certain financial goals, then you want somebody that shares those financial goals with you. If, you know, you want to feel secure, but, you know, you want to spend money and not contribute to the security of the relationship, then, you know, those things aren't congruent. You know, you need to be able to participate in those things that, you know, are important to you. So, you know, like, a lot of that knowing thyself, it just sounds like being selfish from my standpoint.
How is knowing yourself being selfish?
It's number one on my list.
I haven't heard anything that has spoken to giving to a partner or how to contribute to a successful relationship from that standpoint. When I've heard the know thyself phrase on this phone, at least so far, it's just been about what that person wants, not what that person can give or contribute.
If you don't know
yourself, then you don't know what you can give.
Exactly.
So I think that piece is paramount as you move forward, and not in a selfish way that the relationship that you are going to embark on should be all about you, but that it's about self-exploration so that I can know how I can be a better person or what I can do in a relationship. And if I don't know myself, then I don't know those things. And so I still go back to my step one is exploration of self. My step two is release your baggage. My step three is identify your dating purpose. My step four is your list of qualities, plan on that list. And then my step five is, and this is one I think that is crucial, right? You got to identify some places to go meet people. Where do you meet
definitely.
People? How do you say I'm dating, but I don't leave my house? I go to work and I
right.
go home. And so part of the dating plan to be successful is to figure out where am I going to meet people that are interested in the things that I'm interested in. Like that
right.
needs to happen. Or I'm just going to wait for him to ring the doorbell and drop off my package because he's the UPS.
Hey, well,
I mean,
you know,
I don't know.
The Amazon guy, the UPS guy, the FedEx guy, Postmates.
Right, Uber Eats,
know.
All that good stuff. But
Uber
I mean, like,
Eats,
if you're not
like, hey,
figuring
man,
out
you know.
How to get out, or, you know, and not even get out. Maybe we talked about last week online dating. Maybe it's the online sites that you're going to date on. But people have to figure out where am I going to meet people? And it should be meeting people doing things that you're interested in doing. And Steve, you and I talk about this all the time. Whatever the person is interested in, they should just go do those things. And ideally,
mm-hmm.
the goal is that you would meet somebody doing the things that you both enjoy doing.
And isn't that
right.
a part of that know yourself, self-improvement, self-betterment? It still kind of goes back to that self thing.
Okay.
Well, for me, it's not necessarily that. It's that I'm just doing what I like to do. So I'm not improving myself. I'm just enjoying my day. So if I'm going to a comic book conference, I just like comic books. I mean, it's not that, you know, I'm improving myself. I just like, you know, the Aquaman movie was cool to me. I like that. I just went.
Well, if you're doing things that you like and you enjoy, you're going to bring your best self, right? So the people that you're interacting with are going to get the best parts of you.
No,
that's
not always true.
I bring a bad self. So, you know, I don't know when I bring a bad self, so I don't understand that.
Well, let's see. You could probably give your bad self if you're doing things that are unbecoming of you or unbecoming, you know, something that you do not want to do there because you know the women are there and you're going there because that's where the women are. It's not something you want to do. You know, maybe you want to go to a knitting class because the women are at a knitting class. That's right. You're not going to bring your best self there.
Well, I have a good personality, so that'll work out too. I mean, like, I don't
okay,
have
okay, you can bring your personality, but you will shine at the things that you enjoy and that you love to do. Your best self comes
right.
out in those things.
I just
but,
don't
okay.
that,
so. Okay, I'm going to jump around because my number 7 on my plan, my list, is that don't judge the plan. People have to be authentic, and they should not bring their representative. And I think that speaks to what Stacey J is talking about. And maybe that's more tied back into really what's the sole purpose of you dating in this particular time in your life? Like, are you really dating to make a genuine connection with somebody? And if that is the case, then they can't meet your representative the first 2 or 3 weeks and then later on meet the true authentic self. Like, that incongruence
mm-hmm.
creates problems in a relationship. So I think
mm-hmm.
that should be on people's agenda, is that you really need to be authentic when you're talking about I'm dating, if you're dating for a purpose that leads to a long-term relationship. Now, if you're not dating for that purpose and you're not going to see the person the next day, then they can meet your representative all day long.
Well, my thing is if you meet me in a knitting class, you know why I'm here. Don't fool yourself.
They have met your representative. Correct. Exactly. That's
no,
your representative.
No, that's not my representative. That's part of who I am. You know what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm.
So I come to date the ladies.
Looking for a booty call.
The ladies in the knitting class. You know I'm here. So all y'all go ahead and, you know, I know y'all don't get a lot of men in here. So go ahead and, you know, get yourself ready. You know, I'm here to meet some people and meet some people. So you know, don't everybody.
Well, that goes
in
back
the same
to the inauthentic self.
No, that's authentically me. That's why I'm here. If I'm in
okay,
a knitting class.
So,
if y'all see me in a knitting class, you know what it is.
So speaking about you guys going to places, meeting people, because that was my number step 5, my step 6 was you should go out and start dating, right? Now you actually have to put this into motion so that you can meet people. But one of our listeners said, back to our comment about where you meet people, men go to church with bad intentions. What about that?
Totally agree.
Women go to church with bad intentions. What are you talking about? Like, people go to church with bad intentions. That's
people
why they
go to church with bad intentions. Yes, people go to church with bad intentions.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, because
I
can go in there and I could have, you know.
We can skip
like
that
this,
one. I think we all in agreement
nice
on that one.
Lady.
Right,
yeah,
we all
you know,
in
like,
agreement with that one.
Well, that's not a male thing exclusively. What happens is women set the tone for men to misbehave because of the environment. Like,
Did
you just say women set the tone for men to misbehave?
That's exactly what he did.
Yeah,
men got to take ownership for that.
Let me tell you something. From what I have seen in those environments, there'll be a new guy that comes to church and he's swandered with attention, and then you know it just turns left.
Sound like you upset know. Because you ain't the new guy no more. I don't know.
Oh, you
can always
be the new guy. Like, there are a lot of churches. Like, that's not what I do anymore.
There are a lot of churches.
You know, like, I could take, that's not. I just don't do that no more. I could, but, you know, that's not fun.
Yeah.
But, you know,
you
like, the same girl that last week, you know, she was hanging out with your homeboy and had too many Long Island iced teas and her panties were on the ceiling fan last week. She in church this week.
Mm.
You know, I know who she is. So my homeboy told me. So, you know, it's just an interesting dynamic, the church. So we'll just leave it at that.
I don't think that we're not saying, and this is going back to what Stacey J was saying earlier, that, you know, life happens. And so you're absolutely right that life happens even when you plan for anything else, whether it's planning for a career or, you know, planning to own your own house by a certain time, whatever the case, life happens. And sometimes, as you know, the old saying, when life gives you lemonade, life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. But I do think that it is essential for people to think about dating. You know, it's interesting when I talk to my students and I will ask them, do you ever think about how you think? And they kind of give me this crazy, bizarre look. And I said, it's called metacognition. It's the awareness that you think a certain way. And sometimes the way we think is off-kilter. And because of that thinking process, it impacts our behavior and it impacts how we feel and what we do. And so dating should be a conscious decision that people make. And if that is a conscious decision that people make, then they need to follow through with steps so that they can be successful in it if this is something they want to be successful in. Or at least that's my takeaway from my experience.
So you're saying people need to be trained how to date properly or better because they
absolutely
been trained improperly.
Like a training boot.
Like anything else. I mean, but how is dating different than anything else?
That.
Absolutely.
Well,
people learn how to date better.
I know sometimes you have the problem with the word trained, so I just wanted to make sure we were interjecting that.
It depends on the situation. People, I like to go with conditions. You know, sometimes people are conditioned to do certain things. And absolutely, I agree that oftentimes individuals, we are conditioned to do things based on our environment, based on the role models that we had before us. And so does that mean that people learn how to date badly? Absolutely. A lot of people learn how to date badly. You know, if you think about some of your experiences in dating, and then you say, well, what have I learned that from? And if they're great experiences and you had great role models, wonderful. But a lot of people will say, well, you know what? I'm not really sure who taught me how to date. Or when I looked at the examples I had around me, they really weren't healthy. And then they begin to make the connection that my behavior looks just like those unhealthy behaviors I watched growing up. So, yes, I totally agree that we are conditioned to date badly.
I agree with that as well.
Really? Okay.
I totally agree with that. Yes. I mean, our children nowadays, they don't even know how to date. You know, if they're thinking, you know, movies and Netflix and a pizza, that's a date.
The 16-year-old?
You can't define what dating is for the new generation because you're not a new generation.
Okay, well, that's why the older generation is supposed to define what the next generation does. And this is what you're speaking to what I'm saying. There is no one has really passed down what dating is or what it is supposed to be. You're speaking to exactly what I'm saying.
No, I'm being contrary.
It's not
because if you're saying
it's not progression, it's regression.
Older generation is supposed to define what the younger generation does, then the younger generation
doesn't
they're supposed
have their
to teach
own definition.
What it is.
No,
teach
no,
what
they
it
have,
is.
They have
passing
a different
down.
Definition. It's different. Like, just because my grandmother ate pig feet, that was what she had access to. That don't mean pig feet is the best for us. Like, just because there were things that our ancestors did doesn't mean that we should repeat them.
Okay, so our ancestors protest. We're not supposed to protest. We're not supposed to repeat that stuff because they stood up for our rights. We're not supposed to repeat that stuff. We're not supposed to teach them that stuff. So it goes the same thing. Hey,
just
let them have a free-for-all and figure it out themselves, right?
We're not supposed to go out and protest in the same manner. Like, it doesn't look the same, but this generation is more online. It's not marching with dogs getting attacked.
Okay,
getting sprayed
protesting
by, getting
is
sprayed
a definition.
By fire pumps.
Protesting is a definition
it's
of
just
free
like we're talking
speech.
About dating.
Free...
Dating just looks different.
No, it doesn't look different. It doesn't look different.
You
it
just,
looks the same as it did
said,
back in 1960, as in 1940,
just,
as in 1960.
Just,
well,
you just said that it's
well,
different now because
dating,
they do
dating looks very different. Dating looks very different, but dating looks different because we have access to different things. But dating
different
looks
tools,
also
yeah.
looks different. You have different tools, and because of the economic status of the men and the women now who are dating. So I definitely think that dating has transformed into something that is different or morphed into something that is different definitely than the 1950s, the 1970s. Heck, then 10 years ago, dating looked very different. We didn't even have Netflix, so that couldn't have constituted as a date.
Yeah, like,
well,
you know how many women were getting beat up in the 50s and it was acceptable? Like, you know, when you slapped your wife and the police didn't come, that was just something different. You know, like,
well, I'm saying that there is no definition
for
dating.
Oh, there's a definition for dating.
Definitely.
And Stacey J, we're actually going to be talking about that on one of our future shows, the difference between, or is there a difference between hanging out, dating, courting, because we're going to define that. Like, we're going to look at textbook definitions. What is our definition of it in society currently, and do people see those the same or different? Because one evening I was hanging out with some friends, and one of the games I absolutely enjoy playing, if you guys have never played it, is Black Card Revoked. And if you have an opportunity to purchase a game, please do, you guys. It's hilariously fun. But one of the questions on the game was, how much money should you spend on a first date? And I think it was like $25, $50, $100, and
man,
it was a group of men and women,
less than
older. Oh, yeah, nothing less than 25. And it was so interesting to see how people responded to that question because women were like, well, I know how much, and men were like, well, I know how much. And so there was really a gauge, and some of the gauge was based on the age of the participant who responded to that question. And others, I just think it was where they are, obviously, in their careers financially. So this definition of dating, it's not monolithic. There's no one term, I think, that really is going to define what dating is. What we want the takeaway to be is that people see that you could have a healthy dating life, but you got to put the work into it the same way you put the work into anything else or any other aspect of your life. This can't just go happenstance and say, oh, I'm going to stumble into a wonderful relationship and I didn't do any work. Yay for me. Like, I'm sure it has happened to people, but the probability is probably slim.
Hmm.
That's
very slim.
That's my two cents.
Very, very.
Right.
Very,
I think you just got to do the work.
Slim. Very slim.
I'm just going to give
remember,
you a
remember, we have a ton of listeners on tonight. So
anybody who knows me know what
means. Well, I don't know
I
you,
give our listeners.
So we need to know what means.
Right. You'll figure it out.
Steve, I want to give our listeners an opportunity to chime back and just remind them that if you have a comment or a question, remember you can always press 1. The call-in number is 914-205-5902. And apparently we have a listener who has played Black Card Revoked, and she loves the game. So I'm glad I'm not the only person that enjoys this particular game. If you don't have it, you really need to go out and order it because it's kicks.
It really helps you understand individuals' perspectives based on their ages, where they're from. It's just a great game. That was probably like a plug for Black Card with Loaf right there.
Hey, all right.
Yes, it's an awesome game. Awesome game. Awesome
right.
line of games.
Yeah, I
awesome
think I might
game.
Have introduced that to you, Dr. Guy.
You did introduce that to me, and so I thank you for
thank
that.
Thank you. I was waiting on my producer credit or whatever credit I need to receive.
You know what? I was gonna give it to you for that.
I was waiting. I was on the edge of my seat. I had to jump in. I was feeling a little insecure about my credit, so
I'm sorry. Jump out there. You know, I like to give credit where credit is due, and so I'm gonna go back over my steps to the successful dating plan, because I think they're important because they're my steps, right? So as I said, I think step one is the individual needs to explore self, right? What do I want? Who am I? What am I willing to do if I decide to engage in this relationship? My step two is the release of old baggage. Now, what that means for some people is you might actually need to go get professional help to deal with the baggage that you have been carrying. And as a licensed clinician who's been in the field now going on 19 years, I know that a lot of people aren't even aware that they are carrying residual trauma and baggage from old relationships into their new relationships, and so that really needs to be addressed. My next step, three, is to really figure out why are you dating? There's nothing wrong with if you want to be the hit it or quit it one night or if you're looking for love and romance and marriage. It's just important to define what that is. My step four is ideal list of qualities, whatever that looks like, whether those include things like salaries, compassionate, whatever those things may be, they should be important. My next step, step five, is identify places to meet people. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to put yourself at so that you could potentially meet somebody that you're trying to meet? And then step six, you can talk all day long about these things that you want to do, shoulda, coulda, woulda, but if you don't actually put them into action, they're not effective. So you got to start dating. And dating doesn't mean you meet one person and be like, we booed up for life. Like, dating might mean you're dating two or three people or you're going out on dates with two or three different people so that you can find out, do I like them, do I not like them? And so be open to that process. My step seven is be authentic and have the person meet you and not your representative. And then my step eight is to enjoy the process. And I think that's so important because all too often people want to get to an end result. And so they look at relationships like it's a sprint instead of a marathon. And so you take your time when you meet these individuals and just really enjoy the process and the time getting to know them. So those are my step eight tips to having a healthy relationship. Stacey J, I know you're opposed to having the plan, but that's still my plan.
I'll let you call it the plan today. We'll call it something else later.
Okay, we'll call it something else later. All right, Steve, what you got?
Hey, well, you know, my dating plan doesn't waver. It's going to be a plan. It's always going to be a plan. I think that, you know, especially for men, it's really important to identify these things. You need to start out with that profile of that woman, you know, what she looks like physically, her temperament, her emotional intelligence, you know, where she's at financially. I ain't trying to say these hoes. That's just me. You know, whatever values you need to look at, you know, her moral values, her spirituality, you know, she's at one of them churches y'all talking about, then we need to get her out of there because pastor probably done got hold of her ass. What she likes sexually. I need to know if I'm dealing with somebody who likes whips and chains and handcuffs. You know, that's not necessarily off the table. I just need to know. If I'm stepping into that, I need to know that that's what's behind door number one or two or wherever the door is. And, you know, you need to have some bait. You know, you need to have something that somebody likes about you. How do you guys fit together? Because a lot of times what you'll find, your mate really is your mirror in a lot of ways, and it may not always be the way that you like it. Make sure you're aligned with those values. Like, if you're looking for a guy who takes care of all the finances, you know, then and that baby boomer type era generation, then that's going to dictate that you don't have a lot of say-so in that. Like, if you're looking for more of an equal thing, that's more of a generation X, Y. And like you said, go where these people are. You know, if you like poker, go to poker tournaments. You know, like I said, I like comics. I hang out, you know, at the cosplay things. But definitely identify where these people are going to be. They're going to have these characteristics. You know, if you like exhibitionists, go to the strip club. You know, just need to find out, you know, how these things all line up together. And, you know, like Dr. Guy said, you know, find out what your dating style is. You know, if you're more casual, you're not really looking for anything serious. And you do spend $25 or less on your first couple of dates because you don't know people like me. Or if you're fine with spending more money, that's cool too. If you like more formal, you know, dates, balls, galas, you know, those type things. Or you like adventurous type dates, you want to do the escape rooms or zip lines or whatever might be in your city. And just go through that process and rinse and repeat. And you'll get better and better over time. Yes.
One of our listeners just said that $25 is an appropriate amount for a date. Thank you for that.
It's not.
$25
not
is the appropriate
person.
Amount for a date.
Oh, yeah.
$25. Is
yeah, the first
what
ones, yeah.
Our
like, I don't know
said.
You. Yeah, like, mm-hmm. you know, like,
I don't
the
think that the date should be
to...
judged on the amount of the date. I think the date should be judged on the substance. Because it's based on what the two people want to do. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people might think that a romantic picnic in the park is awesome because they're outdoorsy people, and that person spent potentially less than $25. Now, she's not the one. I'm not. I'm just saying that is great because that's what some people like. But people need to know themselves. That's why it goes back to that number one exploration of self. Mm-hmm. Like you can't be upset because he spent $25 and you're you think you're the $100 date. Like then if you're the $100 date, then you need to put this plan into action where you're going to meet $100 spenders on dates.
Well, you know, I always joke about the time I was having some dating problems, and I told you I was going to send the girl the clay, and, you know, you were like, you going to send her some dirt? I was like, no, it's like clay for like a clay bath, and you was like, you buying her some dirt. I was like, so you know, that's always funny to me, you know, when people
right,
have different perspectives. Right, but it's clay for a clay bath, and, you know, she enjoyed her clay, and, you know, I didn't listen to you, and everything worked out a little better, but, you know, it's dirt to you, clay to her, so everybody has their perspective.
Exactly. It's
so if
whatever
you want some clay,
holler
at your boy. You know, I know where to get the clay for the low.
It's whatever floats that person's boat. And I think we might have a caller, and we have a few minutes left. And so if you have a question, I believe the number ends in 5. That number
914-205-5902 is the number. Once again, 914-205-5902. Okay.
I think we have a listener that has a question. Their number ends in 5527. Call if you have a question. You're on the air.
Yes. I do have a question. First of all, I do play Black Card Revoked. I have like 2 or 3 levels of it. It is a great game. And I know since you're running out of time, it'll be very quick. To your list of plans, Dr. Guy, you said ideal qualities. You have to have your list of ideal qualities. Not only do you have to have your ideal qualities, you must know that you have the qualities that a person is looking for. Are you ready for that person? You have a plan, but you need to be ready with having qualities that they may be looking for in you. So you must know your qualities. And to Steve, your comment, you must have a basis to start with to date. You said you shouldn't have a definition of dating. Yes, you should have a basis. How do you know anything about what you know unless it's been defined for you first before you can even change it? So those are my comments.
You know
my
what?
Name is Zandra, by the way.
Hi, Zandra.
Hi, Dr. Guy.
I'm so sorry that we did not get to your comment earlier because I'm sure we would have had to spend some time actually unwrapping that package that you just left us with 60 seconds left in the show. So what I'm hoping that you are going to do is call back in next week because next week we're going to talk about and we're still kind of on our relationship tips, but the question is, are there certain types of people that individuals should date before they settle down with one particular person. So if you chimed in tonight, thank you so much for listening to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. Thank you so much to Steve and Stacey J for joining me tonight. As I tell everyone, don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, tell a friend, pass it on. Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk is back, and stay tuned for our upcoming shows. Everyone, have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Episode ended.